on out October 16th, 17th, and 18th for two mega sales under one roof. The Quality Inn Hotel at 33 Benson Street is hosting its Zara-branded outerwear sale and mega sports sale featuring jackets, parkas, jerseys, hoodies, toques, and more just in time for those cooler temperatures. Students get a 10% discount on everything. Head out to the Quality Inn 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday and Friday, and then on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for great deals on outerwear and sports apparel.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Something mighty is coming to Kingston on Wednesday, October 15th. Mighty Bird Kingston is celebrating its Mighty OG Day with a one-of-a-kind deal. You can get a delicious hand-breaded fried chicken sandwich from Kingston's highest-rated crispy chicken restaurant for just $5.99. This deal is one day only, and there is a limit of one per customer. On October 15th, swing by Mighty Bird Kingston at 764 Gardner's Road and taste the mighty difference.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Ellie MacArthur, Henry Walker, and Eliza Lee. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. At their last meeting, Council received a mid-year update on the city's family physician recruitment program and a request to allocate an additional $400,000 to keep it going. When the recruitment initiative began in 2022, the number of patients without a family doctor in Kingston was holding stubbornly around 30,000, with residents spending hours lined up outside of clinics for a chance to secure care. In this latest update, the city shared that since the program's launch in 2022, a total of 33 new family physicians have been successfully recruited, and Kingston is nearing the milestone of rostering all unattached patients. Councillor Brandon Tozzo opened the discussion around the horseshoe, noting the refreshing sense of accomplishment, a sentiment echoed by Councillor Don Amos.
It's so rare we get a report that's great. And this is actually one of those examples of council and staff working together, allocating the appropriate funding, and us actually tackling and resolving the doctor shortage in the city of Kingston. It's impressive.
It was nice to see a positive outcome and report to value for money. And I think this is one of those health indicators for a city. And when a city can hit a home run like this and actually provide the amount of doctors with the patients that are needed, it works out really well.
Councillor Jimmy Hassan also noted the difference the program has made in what he's hearing from his constituents.
3 years ago, when I got elected as a councillor, that every third complaint we get or the comments we get, the email we get, it was no doctor, no doctor, we need the doctors. But today, from last year and a half, I barely hear anything.
As for next steps, the program will be shifting focus to center on succession planning. Like many communities across Ontario, a significant number of Kingston's family doctors are nearing retirement. And without structured support for transitions, thousands of patients could become unattached once again. Over 28% of Kingston's 114 rostered family physicians are aged 60 or older, collectively caring for more than 22,000 patients. Craig Desjardins, director of the city's Office of Strategy, Innovation, and Partnerships, explained this next phase of the program before council.
We are actually starting to work in collaboration with the Physicians Council, the Primary Care Council, as well as going out and proactively meeting with the clinics to get a sense of when the doctors are retiring. So the goal over the next number of years is to make sure that we know before the patients have to be actually informed. So we would have somebody lined up, ready to go.
According to Desjardins, the goal is to streamline the process so that when a doctor retires, their patients are automatically re-rostered with another provider. Desjardins also highlighted the crucial role nurse practitioners will continue to play in addressing the doctor shortage across the province.
The increase in the number of nurse practitioners involved in the primary care is certainly quite exciting. There's significant change happening. In 2026, there's sort of a major change that will advance the billing opportunities for nurse practitioners, which will again change the opportunities for them. Right now, you're seeing nurse practitioner-led clinics. You're also seeing nurse practitioners better integrated into primary care clinics. So it is a really exciting time, and it is certainly something that is going to be critical for the Ontario Health System to address the challenge of unrostered patients.
Still, staff acknowledge the city's zero unattached residents goal won't come without challenges, especially as retirements continue and population growth outpaces recruitment.
We are working very hard. You will recognize that it is a moving target as the city continues to grow and we add new residents to the community. Many of those, the majority of those, are not don't have family doctors. So that number is constantly ebbing and flowing. But I can say that with the four net new doctors that we signed just at the end of the summer, plus a innovation grant we issued that creates about 5,000 new positions. The Midtown Clinic is still rostering. They have about 5,000 patients to roster, I assume, as they move into their new location. And the OHT recently received funding from the province to roster another 3,500. So we have lots of capacity we're adding to adjust and meet the growing population.
Council unanimously approved the additional funding to sustain the momentum of the program. For those still without a family doctor, registering with Healthcare Connect remains the best way to get matched with a provider.
Every Kingstonian who live in Kingston, they deserve a family doctor. And we will continue to work hard to make sure that everyone has it.
After a tight race with over 1,600 votes cast, the city of Kingston has crowned not one, but two official city birds. The city invited residents to help choose the bird that best represents Kingston's spirit, part of its bid to become a Nature Canada certified bird-friendly city in 2025. A shortlist of 15 local species was chosen by the bird-friendly city team. However, keen-eyed Kingstonians noticed that one feathered resident was missing from the flock. Karen Santucci, Director of Public Works and Solid Waste with the city, described the eventful race.
We started this contest as part of an application we put in to become a bird-friendly city. So as one of the elements of that, it is to choose a city bird. So we started the contest. We started out with, we have a bird team that we work with. And the bird team consists of a number of people from different organizations involved with birds and other similar types of things. So our team came up with a list of 15 birds. We chose from all different types, water birds, songbirds, shorebirds, nocturnal birds, birds of prey. So we chose from some from every different area. And so we had 15. And then we had a huge outcry from the crow community. So in Kingston, there's a huge following of the crow community. So we added the crow.
Kingstonians flocked to the polls, and in the end, both the crow and the cardinal soared to the top, tying with 339 votes each. The pair will now share the perch as Kingston's official city birds.
It was a really tight race all the way through between the cardinal and the crow. It was hilarious to see. There was crow community was definitely involved. There was signs put up downtown, vote crow. And when it came down to it, it was 339 votes for the cardinal and 339 votes for the crow. So we've called them both the city bird. They're actually very interesting birds. They both stay all year. The crow is a very community-oriented birds, very intelligent birds. They flock together, especially in the winter. You'll see huge flocks of thousands of crows together. Cardinal's a little bit more of a solitary bird with just a few people in their community. But definitely, again, another bird that stays all year. So excellent birds to represent the city.
The winners were announced at the city's World Migratory Bird Day celebrations over the weekend. One more step in Kingston's journey towards becoming an officially bird-friendly city.
So we had two different events, one which was the Kingston Fall Birding Festival in Dougfleur Park, and the other one which was a hedgerow habitat workshop that was happening in the West End. Both of these were happening on the same day because it was Fall Migratory Bird Day. So this is the peak time where we see migratory birds heading south. So it is a global migratory bird day. So it was planned specifically around that event. The one for the hedgerows was sold out. They actually got a grant from Bird Friendly Cities for that to supply some supplies for people to plant hedgerows. And then the Kingston Fall Birding Festival was downtown. There was a great turnout out there. I was there. Lots of people from Kingston Field Naturalists. Lots of people showed up from the community where people from Kingston Field Naturalists were letting them use some of their equipment, see the birds, explain what was there. Lots of kids, lots of older adults, lots of people new to Canada, new to Kingston. So it was a really neat mix of people. Everyone gathered. They were all quite excited to hear that there was two birds, the crow and the cardinal. So I think it went over really well. Everyone was quite happy to hear the combination of birds that had been chosen.
As the city continues to spread its wings in promoting bird conservation, residents can expect more initiatives taking flight, protecting and celebrating the birds that call Kingston home.
Yep. So in terms of Bird Friendly City, our application has gone in. Over the last 50 years, there's been a loss of about 3 billion birds. And so Bird Friendly Cities is a program to help reverse the trend through some coordination, some science-backed information and some local action. So it's really about what can we do to reduce the threats to birds? How do we protect and restore nature's natural habitats? How do we engage and communicate to communities? And how do we celebrate urban bird life? So taking a look at all of those, there's lots of different pieces that went into it. Our application was about 79-80 pages long. So lots of information that we have on terms of things that we're doing around birds, lots of things that we can still do to improve going forward. So we're trying to enter at an entry level. There's also an intermediate level and an advanced level. So lots of room for us to improve over the upcoming years as well. We've got a draft of a bird-friendly city webpage coming to the city's website. So hopefully up within the next month or so, people will be able to go in, learn more about bird-friendly cities, learn more about what they can do to help support bird habitats as well. So that will be coming, and there'll be some social media that goes out around that to let people know that that page is up and running. And there's information that all the residents could use from there.
And with such a strong community response, Kingston seems well on its way to earning its bird-friendly wings.
Lots of twists and turns along the way, and we were watching it pretty closely. It was a fun race to watch on a daily basis. Excellent turnouts for this competition, so it was fun to see.
So with Halloween just around the corner, if you spot a flash of red or a full-on murder overhead, don't worry, it's just Kingston's newest celebrity species. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
This is Henry Walker with the Queen's Campus Beat, bringing you part two of our look at the Dance School's fall production of Bertolt Brecht's The Caucasian Chalk Circle. On Monday, we spoke with director Greg Wanless and composer Noah Allman about the creative scope and significance of this project, and today we'll return to the Caucasian Chalk Circle to hear more from Professor Wanless and explore the many layers of performance, process, and collaboration that has shaped the show so far. For student and actor Daniel Gill, the opportunity provided by Caucasian Chalk Circle was one he couldn't afford to miss.
For me, I think it just came from a place of wanting to engage in theater at Queen's. I'm, you know, a very big proponent of theater, and so any opportunity to get involved, no matter what play it might be, it just kind of draws me.
One aspect of the play Gill made it clear that he thinks we should keep in mind is...
There's a lot of moments in this play that are comedic in nature, but it's also a serious play. You know, there's serious moments and there's comedic moments, and I hope that neither overpower the other.
Daniel also took the time to explain the way parts were divided in this play.
So everybody in the play plays a selection of different characters. I think out of the five acts in prologue, most people are in at least five scenes.
Why does Daniel think this is?
Well, I think this just came from the fact that there are a lot of roles in this play that aren't too large, and some that are very large. And so by doing this, I think what our director has done is effectively kind of dispersed the amount of stage time everyone gets pretty equally.
This egalitarian approach once again highlights the significance of the dance school major as an opportunity for learning, further made possible by the size of the play's cast and crew.
There are a lot of people who are involved, about 80, maybe more students are involved, and they're all in courses.
Speaking again with director Greg Wanless, he provides insight into why Caucasian Chalk Circle was chosen as this term's major, and also how its themes and ideas can be seen to reflect back, off the stage, onto us.
The play's message, really, and it starts at the beginning, and they tell a story. There's this group of peasants who are trying to live their lives at the end of a war. And they have something to solve. They have a dispute to solve. Now, they do come to some determination, you know, in the first, it's called the prologue. But then they still go through this acting out of this this story called the Caucasian Chalk Circle, and they come to reinforce their original decision. And the storyteller at the end says, you know, merit should be the most important thing. You know, to the children, they should go to the motherly. The final comment in the storyteller is the one that prompted the story, which is to the waterers, meaning the fruit growers. They're the ones who are going to create a dam. They're going to irrigate the valley. They should get the valley through merit rather than the strength of money.
Referring to the state of the dance school major at Queen's, Greg suggests...
There are risks in this economic climate at the university. This would be something that the university could cut easily. I mean, it makes money. I mean, people come, we earn revenue and things.
With that said, the position of the dance school major seems to have found some new security as it's been fully established as a course. Performances of the dance school's production of Caucasian Chalk Circle is set to start around November 13th. This has been Henry with CFRC's Campus Beat.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Thanksgiving Monday, October 13th. Looking like it'll be a cloudy day here in the city of Kingston, but a little warmer than usual with a daytime high of 15 degrees. Staying consistent overnight, only dropping down to 10. Tuesday, October 14th, warmest day of the week. Daytime high of 19 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 6 overnight. That cool chill will stay in the air Wednesday morning, October 15th. Daytime high of 12 degrees. Thursday, October 16th, daytime high of 10, dropping down to 2 degrees overnight. Moving towards the start of homecoming here at Queen's. Friday, October 17th, 12 degrees, overnight low of 4. And then Saturday, October 18th, homecoming football game between the Queen's Gaels and the Windsor Lancers. It's going to be 15 with a 56% chance of light precipitation at times, so a mix of sun and a little bit of rain clouds. Otherwise, a lovely day. Sunday, October 19th, daytime high of 17 degrees, 55% chance of rain. And then starting off next week, Monday, October 20th, daytime high of 16 degrees with a 57% chance of precipitation. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. The LaSalle Causeway will be closed to all motorists and pedestrians on October 14th from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Please make alternative travel arrangements. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity at 484 Albert. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Berry Street, King Street West to Stewart is closed October 14th to 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. to accommodate ongoing construction projects. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation. Johnson Street at Victoria, closed until October 24th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. Kings Court Ave, concession to First Ave, closed October 10th to November 21st for gas main installation. Queen Street, Wellington and King, westbound lanes will be closed October 14th to 17th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for the installation of new services. Ontario Street, Brock to Clarence is closed October 14th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. to accommodate the removal of planters on Ontario Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 24th for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Tivoli Avenue closed at Midland and Sierra until October 17th for the installation of new services. Wellington Street, Queen to Berwick is closed October 14th to 17th from 7 to 7 for the installation of new services. Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of active transportation infrastructure. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Ave, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper, expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and some road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage. Trudell Road, development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
This is Christina coming back in with your concerts and events calendars for this week. Starting with concerts, on Wednesday, October 15th, get ready for The Brains, Real Sickies, Screamin' Sins, Dense Dense, and Nocturnia at The Mansion, doors at 7 p.m. Frank Ryan plays at Musiki at 8 p.m. Johnny Kirwan at the Timeout Bar at 6 p.m. And finally on Wednesday, once again, open mic at the Wolf Island Hotel begins at 7:30 p.m. On Thursday, October 16th, it's open season at the Hotel Wolf Island. Hugh Christopher Brown, Joey Wright, and Mason Mercer play 7:45 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Also on Thursday, the first of two hometown farewell shows for the Wilderness, supported by the CODAs, take place at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Susie Ungerleiter, three-time Juno and four-time Canadian Folk Music Award nominee, plays at the Cove Inn at 7 p.m. And catch Jam Night with Michael George at the RCHA from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. On Friday, October 17th, to kick off the weekend, you can see Saxabelle's Celebrating Women's History Month at the Academy Food and Drink from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. The second hometown farewell show for the Wilderness, supported by Red Fox, takes place at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Finally, on Friday, Love, Kennedy Rogers, and Dolly Parton tribute at the Spire, 7:30 p.m. Diving into events for this week, on Wednesday, October 15th, Hang and Jam with John Torres takes place at Rosewell Rehearsals from 1 to 3 p.m. Karaoke at Jersey Sports Bar is at 7 p.m. and karaoke at The Mansion is at 9 p.m. So grab your friends and pick some songs. On Thursday, October 16th, Queen's University homecoming events run from Thursday to Sunday. To find out about alumni class events, you can head to queensu.ca/alumni/homecoming. Kingston Symphony Warehouse's vinyl record sale runs from Thursday to Sunday from 4 to 8 p.m. And finally, theme trivia at Queen's Pub starts at 9 p.m. On Friday, October 17th, Queen's University Homecoming Friday Welcome is at Grand Hall from 1 to 6 p.m. And the JDUC opening celebration begins at 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Catch student band Last Call, as well as speeches from Principal Dean and more. That wraps up your concerts and events calendar for this evening.
Have an event you'd like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a selection from the winter in Canada's long-anticipated new yet untitled album. Over the summer, the band gave us a taste of what was yet to come with singles like Wolves, Tides, and Threads, each one marked with the band's signature aggressive downbeats and roaring guitars and bass. Now the full album is here, delivering that same raw energy across an unrelenting track list. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Untitled by The Winter in Canada on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called The Head, the Tail, the Wings, and the Claws with us now, right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, we're the Wilderness, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Ba-ba-da-ba-do-do-do.
Got a lick.
Ha-ha,
nice!
We're keeping that in.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC broadcast from Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee territory. It is 6... No, it is not 6 p.m. My show has always started at 6 p.m. It is 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, October 15th. I'm all discombobulated here. Welcome to Sky's the Limit, a very special episode, the biggest radio episode that me and my co-host Abby Boatwright, say hi, Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Hi, Abby. Have ever done, and things are playing in the background. And special guest here today, Abby and my favorite band is a band from Kingston. We play them all the time. If you're a longtime listener, you know them and you love them. It's The Wilderness. And from The Wilderness, today we have Mr. Nicholas Lennox.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Nick plays sax.
Mostly, yeah. Saxophone, a bunch of guitar, keys every so often if Liam lets me. I sing a lot. I throw tambourines at him.
You throw tambourines, yeah.
I have a hard time sitting still. I identify as a saxophone player with a lot of other hobbies. And
yeah,
I've found a way to never not be doing something on stage. So mostly saxophone. But yeah.
Nick plays everything that the other members of The Wilderness don't play is kind of what I describe you as to people who haven't seen you before. It's like, okay, Jonas sings and plays guitar.
Yeah.
Liam plays keys.
Uh-huh.
Hank drums.
Yep.
Joe plays guitar. Bass. And Nick does everything else that the song needs.
Well, it's a tough living being in a rock band. I had to find something that wasn't currently happening. So I started with saxophone and then... Yeah, like I said, I just found a way to never have to stand around and twiddle my thumbs. And lucky enough for me, the guys will let me do a bunch of random stuff on most tunes.
Yeah. So anyways, we have an hour and a half here. The Wilderness, if you don't know, are breaking up?
Yeah.
Indefinite hiatus?
That's a way to put it. Yeah. We got a couple shows this weekend, which are going to be like the closest musical equivalent to a wake that we could possibly attend. It's nice because we actually get to attend it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're taking a little bit of a break for a while.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so anyways, to commemorate the, I don't want to say end, but to commemorate this era of The Wilderness, maybe is a very gentle way to put it.
Sure.
We're doing a Wilderness special today, an hour and a half of music and memories and getting emotional, potentially.
You have a primary source.
Of memories. We wanted to start the show today with the story of Abby and my relationship with The Wilderness, because it's a special one, I think. Do you want to start?
Do I want to start?
Yeah.
Let it be known, listeners, that I am very excited to hear this. I have no idea what's about to happen.
No pressure. Do you want to start?
Yeah.
Well, see, I think it's a fun story because it's a little bit accidental, but yeah, in the best way. I found your advertisement for your show at the Isabel.
So January 23rd, 2023.
Thank you. I was just going to ask Skylar for the specific
date. I'm going to pull up the note.
Oh, this is
great.
There we go. So yeah, I saw the...
January 27th, 2023 at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts.
So I saw the advertisement for your show and I was looking for something to do. And so I texted Skylar and said, hey, do you want to go see this band at the Isabel?
Yeah.
Because we're Queens students and it won't cost us a lot of money, but we can go see some music. And it's rock music and I'm a huge rock fan, but I don't get a lot of opportunities to see rock music.
Yeah.
And so we show up to the Isabel to see this. And right from the start... You started playing Hollywood Boulevard. That time, we'll talk about that in a bit, but we were listening and then I looked everywhere for that song after, not knowing anything about you guys, going, I can't find this song where they mentioned Motley Crue and I can't find it. But I remember looking at Skylar like, oh my gosh, this is great. And yeah. I can honestly say, I know it sounds like I'm making it up for the radio here, but it was from like the first... verse of the first song, I was locked in. And it's kind of funny because we saw you at the Isabel, which is sort of an unconventional way to see you, but it was still amazing and great and started the journey that got us to where we are now.
Yeah. So we saw that show. Abby became instantly obsessed. It took a bit longer for me to understand, I think, what I was witnessing. Mm-hmm. But from sort of the first moment that we saw, I think the first thing that I said was, this feels like watching Jonas on stage felt like watching like early Matty Healy with the 1975. Okay. That's the first comparison that I made.
And at that time, like, I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah. No, that's a high compliment. That is, make sure he hears that.
He had his long curly hair too. And so that's sort of the first thing. And then we ended up going to London, Ontario.
Because we wanted to see you again. And we saw that you were playing. Yes, we went to the bowling alley show. We were there.
At the bowling alley. I have it on my list as unnamed bowling alley because I cannot remember the
Isn't
name.
Isn't it like the Rockin' Bowl or something?
No. That place is called the Palisade Social Bowl.
Oh, there you go. The Social Bowl.
Listen, to interject and to paint a picture, this is an entire bowling alley. I'm trying not to curse here. This is the real bowling alley. It's got an arcade over there, and they've got like a stage over a bunch of the lanes. So you're playing. Next to you, there are people just knocking down pins. You know, there's a retirement party that was there before us, I think. Great hall, great sound. Strange venue in contrast with the Isabel, which is a real performing arts theater where we had a string section with us.
Yeah. So we went straight from the Isabel to the bowling alley, where actually we showed up kind of ridiculously early to the bowling alley because we weren't sure.
There was a mixed information. We also had, we mentioned there were two openers. There was two people playing with you. It was Bentneck and the Joints, who we went to see again after that. So we were introduced to them.
They're awesome.
And Innes Wilson's Freightliner. And then it was the Wilderness.
But as a fun fact for you.
Oh boy.
Before we saw you that night, we watched you bowl.
Accidentally. Oh. I said to Skylar, I said, that sounds creepy. But we were sitting at one of the little sort of bar stool things they have, and the Wilderness started bowling in the lane right in front of us.
Oh, great.
And we're like, well, I guess pre-show entertainment.
Yeah, the continuing the storied tradition of Canadian bands who are also sports stars. We're like the opposite of Boston Levi. We're like...
No, we watched you bowl, and then Jonas's name on the screen was Joanus.
Yeah, that tracks.
And then because we know Jonas's in our regular lives, every time we'd refer to Jonas of the wilderness, we'd call him Joanus.
Oh, okay, that's going to be some stark contrast with the Matty Healy thing.
Anyway, so then we watched you bowl, and then Abby went to the Broom Factory show, but I was busy.
And that was my favorite show.
That was your favorite show.
October 23rd, right?
October 17th.
About this time last year.
Yeah, October 17th, 2023.
2023. This is still going back to 2023.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
And then you didn't really perform until Strangers I Used to Love album release party.
Yeah.
Around here, at
which
least.
Which we went to that.
And then I was in fully after that show.
That's astonishing to me.
Yeah. But basically what ended up happening was Abby and I had sort of just met before we saw you in January, and we weren't really friends yet. And then sort of through the shared interest in your band, really, is like we credit a lot of our, like, we are best friends, like inseparable artistic partners. We credit a lot of that to the Wilderness, which is such an interesting thing to say to people. They're like, oh, how'd you become such close friends? And we're like, this local rock band.
We talk about how it's something to like look forward to. And you were talking about like local bands and such. And we could go, like, we could afford to go to your shows, and you would travel places that we could also travel to, like London. The reason we went to the show is because London's actually sort of close to where I grew up.
Okay.
So I said, oh, like, we can go to London, not knowing it was the bowling alley show, but that was still fun.
That was our first trip together.
Yeah. So we were just talking about how it was kind of cool to follow the Wilderness as something we were enjoying and we loved, and we grew to love you more and more with the more things you released. But then it was also like, our relationship as friends was growing at the same time, and we had this social thing to look forward to for this local Kingston band that was from the city that we went to school in.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to offer somewhat of a story in return. I don't want to interrupt you if you want to finish before I start.
I was just going to say we saw you first in sort of halfway through our second year, and it was like one of the only stable things that we had here, because we were both new to Kingston. We didn't have any background with it. Abby didn't even go to first year here. Mm-hmm. And I was very fish out of water in first year here. And through seeing you live in Kingston, but then also through your music, because it's so Kingston based, we grew to love Kingston up to the point where we became like Kingston's biggest supporter, because people are like, I hate Kingston, I hate living here, it sucks. And we'd be like, no, but there's so many fun things to
do.
Have you been to Blue Martini? Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was like really... And I don't want to give all the credit to you, but
I refuse to take it.
It's really a lot of the like love that we found for Kingston, and the reason why we felt so at home, especially during our third and fourth years, was a lot to do with seeing you live and your music. It felt like something special was here.
That feels really important to me. And actually it sort of is a good segue to the thing I was going to offer you.
Yeah.
The serendipity of you catching the first show that you've seen at the Isabel is wild to me. I'm not from Kingston either. Most of the people in the band throughout the band's history have not been from Kingston.
Yeah.
We used to make jokes about this all the time, that like we're a band from Kingston where nobody's from here. I also went to Queens. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Guelph. I went to Queens because I got off the bus and liked it here.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it.
Crazy.
And when I moved here, I was like, okay, I really need to like make a point of moving somewhere new. And because of that, I got really involved in the music scene here. But the inception of it was like that bus ride. And, you know, I studied music at Queens. I did a bunch of classical stuff. I screwed off to go on tour a lot and am not much of a classical musician anymore. I'm sorry if any of my professors are listening to this. Don't worry about it. I'm still not finishing half those papers. So the fact that you were at the Isabel is quite funny, because it was this interesting combination of like all of these little themes. Like, we stayed a band largely because we were best buddies and we were like, we're trying to figure this out and live our dream is of like of being a rock band, of getting obsessed with something, of writing tunes together, of all this. And that Isabel show happened mostly because Jonas is a man of very big dreams and was like, we should do a show with an orchestra. and I was like, we can try and figure that out. I studied some stuff at Queens. Best I can do is a quartet, though. And so we spent months writing all these arrangements. And like for all of the going on tour and all of the being a delinquent rock and roll guy that I was doing instead of finishing my papers, I'm really, really sorry, Dr. Walker.
not Dr. Walker. That hits
for
home.
For all of that, like, you know, I never did like a recital or anything. And that gig was the one that felt like the homecoming gig for me. I was like, this is the recital where I finally get to be on this stage with a band that I actually am really, really invested in instead of like a wind orchestra. And for y'all to catch that on like an offhand, you know, thing, it's not lost on me that maybe it really is just circumstance. I don't know if it's embedded in Kingston as a place or in the mythos that surrounds it, but it is a testament to like, the fact that there's something important about being somewhere on purpose and making a point of staying somewhere and making a point of finding ways to make that place your home, whether like regardless of circumstances. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And the Isabel for us is a very special place. We spent a lot of time. I continue to spend a lot of time in that building because we did theater and music and film at Queens. So
makes sense. You like Hollywood Boulevard. That tune is the most musical theater tune we have.
Yeah.
Continue, sorry.
No, but we would like, I think that was that the first show that we ever saw in the concert hall too?
Yeah, it was mine anyways.
That was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
The beginning I've ever been, like, the beginning to when I was in the Isabel as well, because Skylar just said I wasn't even there for first year.
That was the first. Yeah. And then I have done many a thing in the Isabel now, like my own shows and working there and stuff like that. But it was just like, and then we got obsessed with going to shows in Kingston, and we would buy tickets to the concert hall and then just go after class. Like, we'd be like, oh, just go downstairs.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyways, I think that our talk about home segues very nicely into the first song that we want to play, a song that means a lot to us about growing up and traveling and not sort of having a home anymore, but more to our friend Olivia. So this is a shout out to our friend Olivia, who has a very special connection to the song, and I'll tell you that off air, maybe, if it will ever play, because it doesn't want to play for some reason. Hello? You want to play so bad.
I didn't bring the guitar, so you'd better.
No, it's playing. From their Seminary Road EP, The Wilderness, 81 South.
Just a little after nine. Things didn't go according to the plan that I laid out in my mind. I let go of some things that I held dear to me, so I could turn them into gasoline. And I walked them down my street. Guess Virginia did them wrong. There ain't nothing me or my sister can say to them that's gonna help them get along. So now the house is empty, filled with people I don't know. So I drove right past the exit I used to take. It used to lead me home. Drunks go and I'll sit at the bar on my own. I'll drink whatever they pour for me so I can get some sleep. And I'll find a place where all the local drunks go and I'll sit at the bar on my own. I'll drink whatever they pour for me so I can get some sleep.
Thank you. Affair by The Wilderness. And this is the Sky's the Limit, The Wilderness. I called it the farewell special in my social media post, but now it feels hard to say it when we have a member of The Wilderness here with us. If you're just tuning in now, Nick from The Wilderness is joining us. We're talking about some of Abby and my favorite memories and some of our favorite songs. And the next song that we have is Christina, which Abby has most of the things to talk about with.
Sure. I just wanted to talk about Christina because I said prior, to, if anyone's just joining now, we saw them at the Isabel first, and we Hollywood Boulevard was first, and we were looking into that song after, but it wasn't released at that time. But Christina was, and we also liked that one. So Christina was my first favorite Wilderness song. Yeah. Nice. And it was interesting. We were just talking off the air about like what you connect to in the songs, and Christina was really cool for me, which I'm sure it is for a lot of other rock music fans or just big music fans in general, because I was talking about how you could kind of apply it to any genre of music, the story sort of within the Christina song, but thinking about, you know, growing up with the bands and the artists that you like and then the people around you and how you connect those memories. So I was just wondering if you had anything to say about that one at all, and also if there was any reason why this just existed as a single and wasn't on an album. Yeah. And if there's any story behind it, and if not, that's okay, but
okay. I'm gonna answer the middle part and then the end part. Great. And then the first part.
All right.
I mean, so the reason it's a single as opposed to being part of an album is because of where it came out in time, right? Like we released our debut record Until Tomorrow in 2020.
Right.
And anybody who was alive during 2020 knows that that was a complete fever dream. And we finished recording Until Tomorrow, I think March 13th or 14th, 2020. Like the world shut down 2 days later, and we were like, oh my God, we just recorded our debut record with one of the guys from the Tragically Hip producing. We had it all. What do we do? And so Christina, like that was kind of the first tune that we got back to playing with.
Yeah.
You know, like we put out this record. We didn't really get to go tour it, and playing live has been our bread and butter forever. COVID was a big existential crisis for everybody. We needed a song to put out, but we weren't sure what the next thing was going to be. We were trading demos back and forth over Zoom and like in a little Dropbox folder. And we sent them to Rob Baker, and Rob was like, yeah, I'm not sure this is quite what you're after. And we're like, man, you're right. It was a very strange time, but it was a reason to get back playing again. The story behind it, Jonas will tell this better because he's the narrator. He's the progenitor. I mean, the theme of like finding something to bond with a best friend over is true. But Jonas writes from experience a lot. That's the thing I do know about him. That's the thing I can say confidently. He's describing it like a childhood best friend of his. I'm sure if you've attended any number of our shows, you will hear more and more tales of the kind of thing that goes on that song, sneaking around a little bit, you know, like listening to tunes you're not supposed to be listening to. I used to go to church too. I stopped doing that when I got into Slayer. You know, it's like it's the same kind of theme here, right?
So,
I mean, like the story is like based in reality. There is a Christina, that is a real person who, to my knowledge, is continually amazed by this tune. You got to help me remember the first part. Oh my God. It was other things about this tune?
Just sort of in general, just anything about it, and but that you said just sort of why it was released on its own. And I was talking, which you sort of touched on in that middle part, I started by saying it's a specific story about a specific person, which you just said is a real person, but it's also a great I think image of like coming of age, and you said growing up, and you listen to your favorite songs with your favorite friends at that time, and how you can grow out of friendships just like you can grow out of music and favorite art, but it always exists. And so it's just it's a very nice picture, I think.
Well, I'll say two things about this then. Like, I've been reading a lot of like biographies lately, and one thing that has really resonated with me is like the power of a well-written character to give you insight into the way the world was. I just finished a book by Robert Caro, this author I was yapping about earlier. He wrote a book called The Power Broker, which, if you know, is super long, super dense, and mostly about highways and urban planning, which doesn't sound like it would be that fascinating. But in describing all of this and in describing the protagonist of the book, Robert Moses, who is a bad dude, not a good dude, the author manages to paint such a vivid picture of how the actions of this one guy just like affected so many people. And it's because of the character, right? Stark turn. I mean, like, different kind of person. Like, one thing that I've always admired about specifically Jonas's writing, actually, is the ability to tell a story by relating like really personal details that are, that have like a universality to them. You know what I mean? Picked You Up is like one of those songs. I mean, it's a bit of a love letter to Kingston. It's got all these like Kingston specific lyrics, but it's also like, if you can put the reader, this would be something I just heard Robert Caro say in his own biography, or if you can put the listener in this perspective where it's like, oh no, I can see that scene.
Yeah.
Then maybe we, the artists, can like try to approximate you feeling the same thing that we're feeling, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Christina, in that way, was very much like this connecting thing. And it was like, how do we get back into playing music? But it was also like, that story is kind of at the heart of why we're in a band in the first place. Like, that story and that flavor of story, you know what I mean? Like, some of that is true for all of us. That's specifically Jonas's experience, but some of it's true for every member of the band, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And that's great. I think that's like it's really fascinating to hear you say that, because then as a listener, I think it was sort of the same way of hearing that, going like, this is why I love music. This is why I love to see live music, and hearing you perform it live, obviously for the first time, was amazing. So yeah, that's great to hear that and know that there's a Christina.
And my only note on Jonas's songwriting that I will let us transition into the song with is, such a liar. He will not grow his hair back out, no matter how many times we ask. The wilderness here, Christina.
Do you remember 17? We abandoned hope in Jesus, slipped into new bad routines. I started smoking roll-up cigarettes that made it hard to breathe. And your mom, and I swear
Christina. And I swear.